Oh, yeah. On the phone, we got our pal, our buddy, from the movie guys, Mr. Paul Preston. Paul!
What up, Paul?
Good morning, gang. What's up?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Are you feeling, my friend?
Yes. Yeah, 2.5 weeks ago, I had ear surgery. So I know it's great for guests on a radio show to go, huh? Every once in a while, but I might be doing that. So apologies in advance.
No worries, man. Okay, real quick, tell them what the hell happened.
Ear enhancements?
Okay, I had a bone. I had one of the bones near my ear was thinning for some weird reason. And so my voice was resonating up into my head. And so I sounded like everything sounded fine except when the way I heard myself sounded like a teacher from the Peanuts gang.
That's crazy.
So they fixed it apparently, but it's not great yet. We'll see. I guess a lot of swelling still has to go down, so I'm kind of still recovery, kicking around the house watching a lot of movies.
But didn't you say in your Facebook post that they had to go through your skull?
They did. That's the only way they get to these bones.
Oh,
so
my God.
Yeah, wow. Cut a hole through my head and everything. But that stuff is rebounded just fine. I'm 100% walking around, feel great.
Good,
not what I was hoping it would be. Waiting on that.
Well, Happy New Year, man. Happy New Year.
Indeed, so, Happy New Year to you, man.
Yeah. Here's all.
So did they fill the hole back up, though, or what?
Yeah, Sean. Yes, Sean. They did. Yes.
It's not a hole in his head.
Kind of required. Yeah.
Well, I want to be sure, man, because I don't know these things.
You're so smart, man.
I am.
You're so
smart as a whip, baby.
So handsome.
Smart as a whip.
So handsome.
Yeah, I'm glad I look this good.
You host a podcast. You're not a doctor. I get these questions.
I got a face for radio, you know. So,
indeed.
Hey.
But, yeah, I was listening to the show. I just got a few quick comments. Air Fryer, they're amazing.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you got the Wasting Light album from Foo Fighters. It had the tune Rope on it, among others. But they included in the CD a piece of analog tape from their recording. Like, if they were so excited to record analog, like that album, that in the CD they include a little piece of the tape, which was hilarious. Because Dave's all into that type of recording stuff like you were talking about.
Yeah.
The news about Amazon Prime sucks, but I like the free shipping, so I'm currently not going to dump that, but see how annoyed I get the first time I have to watch commercials. Like, they're not going to put commercials like in the middle of a movie, are they? Because then that's like...
Oh, it can come whenever.
Well, I'm pretty sure on the newer releases they won't, but you can best believe on all their original TV series, all their older movies, they're going to put them commercials in there.
See, TV I get, but you can't put a commercial in a movie. Then you're just Saturday afternoon on an antenna station in 1985, you know?
Yeah.
Watching Godzilla or Kung Fu movies, and then there's commercials, because of course there are. That's how it was, but not today.
I just don't like where they put the commercials. It'd be like in the middle of the scene, and it's just like, our commercial here.
I've waited so long to tell you that now you can save 15% on commercials.
No, Luke. Now tune in today, and you can get that. Like, wait, what?
Well, Paul, I don't know if we can make this other announcement, but I did get your Christmas card.
Mm. Ah, yes. I got engaged. So,
yo, congratulations, sir.
Congrats. I'm a lucky guy. My girlfriend, the fiance, Susan, is really the adult in the room of the two of us. So
I believe that.
Makes sense,
We are men, so that's kind of how it usually goes.
Yeah.
That's
so,
what's called
dude, I am
half.
So happy for you guys, man.
Well, me too. You know, when she got on the SAG nominating committee and got screeners for all the great movies of the year, I figured better.
Wow.
He said, go ahead and lock this one down.
The benefits work. No, I see.
The real reason why you love her. Got it. Right. Dude, I know.
So I've seen a lot. Let me get to one of them. I got to tell you about this.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start with the movies, bud. Go ahead.
This is not a screener. I went down to the Motion Picture Academy Museum, which if you haven't been to, is just fantastic that L.A. finally has a museum about the movies. It seems way overdue. And it's great. And the theater there, the David Geffen Theater, is fantastic. And I went there to see Maestro, which was a great way to see this film because
I heard
it's about Leonard Bernstein, the acclaimed composer, and conductor, and his relationship with Felicia Montalegre, his lifetime companion. But of course, he had many relationships with men throughout this time. Right. So it's a complicated relationship. But one of the main things about the film, it's he's a musician. I love movies about artists who and how they deal with their art, how the art changes their lives, how they talk about art, etc. So the music is so important. Seeing it in the theater was fantastic. Now, this is a Netflix movie. I've come on here and bitched before about how, like, Netflix movies are just seem small at home, and this one will, unfortunately, if you missed it in the theater. So if you watch it at home, be sure to just crank it up, because there's, like, a long sequence where Bernstein conducts Mahler, and you can see all of Bernstein's emotion, the passion he gave classical music, all of his life in this Bravo sequence, one of the year's best sequences of the whole year from any movie. And you buy him, you buy what the music does to him. And again, if it's Man on Wire, anything from Man on Wire to La La Land or whatever, music about or movies about art just always sway me. And the music is crucial to this movie. So anyway, if you watch it at home, turn it up. But here's the other stuff you want to know about. I talked about Priscilla last time I was here, the Priscilla Presley story.
Yeah.
This is another movie about a guy who's a musical legend who kind of acts in his own way, behaving as he cares to. No real thought, no real adult thought about who suffers in his wake, which includes both Felicia, his wife, and his daughter. But she sees what's going on. Bernstein's having affairs with men. But, you know, things come to a glorious head every once in a while with high emotion scenes that work not just because of the acting, but Bradley Cooper. What an exceptional director. I mean, I don't know if you saw, I didn't love A Star Is Born. I just don't think I love that story. But you could see his skill as a director there. He took 6 years to tell this story. A lot of it had to do with the story of Bernstein going through different people like Scorsese, Spielberg. They were both attached. In fact, they both hung on as executive producers. That's pretty powerful. One, two, you know, leading the charge of this movie. But Cooper, man, I'm super impressed with his direction in this. You know, he has this ability to trust long, wide shots without cuts, without insert shots, you know, to really deliver, let the actors do their thing. And at the heart of it, the relationship, as I've described it, you can probably imagine, is complicated. And that's the best compliment you can give any relationship in a film, book, TV series, what have you, is that it's complicated. So you can see the 6 years of work Bradley put into this. When I saw it, he was there for a Q&A, and he was, you know, just a sharp, smart dude, but also like a regular guy. Like he seemed like you're amazed that this guy is like a Philly bro could pull this off, but he did, you know. And I think he's due for an Oscar. He's got 9 nominations because he's also produced, you know, A Star Is Born, and he directed, and I think he had something to do with the. One of the scripts too in the past. So 4 acting nominations. So Carey Mulligan is also brilliant in this as Felicia. She has 2 Oscar nominations in her past, so she's due. So I'd love to see both of them recognized on Oscar night. There's a cute meet where the two of them meet. It's a little too cute, and actually went, is this going to be good? But then, boy, the movie just piled on after that. The writing gets really sharp. Like I mentioned, the payoff scenes are outstanding and excellent production value top to bottom. It's a lot of black and white photography. The period locations are realistic without announcing themselves. You know, they just kind of live in it. And so even if now you got to watch it at home and it's going to be smaller than it would have been for its brief theatrical run to qualify for Oscars, it's definitely worth seeing. And pretty, again, complicated is exciting. Go in and just let yourself be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then see what happens. You know?
Well, you know, to me, I mean, Bradley Cooper has really come an awful long way from, you know, let's say, you know, taking these small roles like in The Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, that's the one I always think of. It's like,
he was in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really forget he was in Wedding Crashers.
And, you know, to do small roles like that and then, you know, to step up and do something like The A-Team or whatever, you know, and then and then now to become a full-fledged producer, director, and getting nominated,
yeah,
you know, on this shit for the first time, you know, as a director kind of a thing, you know. I mean, that's damn good. It shows you, and like you were saying, Paul, it shows you his true talent overall.
Well, you know, there's a famous clip of him at the Actors Studio, you know, on the show inside the Actors Studio, asking a question. I think it was De Niro or something, you know, from the crowd, because he, you know, he studied, he did, he's been doing his work forever. He's a handsome guy, so that'll get him on something like Alias or Wedding Crashers, you know. But I think when the time came to like own his career, he knew what he wanted to do. And you know, for one time, I think he had like 4 Oscar nominations in a row for acting, right? Silver Linings Playbook, American Sniper, yeah. American Hustle, and maybe it was three. But either way, 3 in a row, you'd think he's due. And then he piles on all the other credits of producing and directing A Star Is Born. And now, I mean, Maestro for sure is going to get some kind of recognition for him. And, yeah. and it's deserved for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I hope he gets it, you know, whichever.
But speaking of which, first up, he's nominated for the Golden Globes, I think, as an actor and a producer for this film. Maybe a director too. But the thing I wanted to point out about the Golden Globes, and you can give me your thoughts on this, try and keep it quick. They finally did, like years ago, the Oscars threatened to do something called Best Popular Film. And then they bagged it. They bagged the idea before it actually happened. Right. But the Golden Globes, of course, ever the the
trendsetters,
stepchild to the Oscars, and always making the wrong decisions and getting in trouble. They decided to do it. So now this year they're going to have Best Cinematic and Box Office Achievement Award.
What the hell does that mean?
It's dumb. Your nominees are Barbie, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, John Wick 4, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, and the Super Mario Brothers movie.
So this is basically just a popularity contest.
Taylor's going to win.
Exactly. But when you do that, in my opinion, you are basically saying popular movies can't run for Best Picture. But what I think you should instead do is say, look, success in your genre is success in your genre. You know, they have 5, but in the Oscars, they have 5 Best Picture nominees. And they went to 10 in 2009 because I think everyone, how come you didn't nominate The Dark Knight in 2008?
Right.
Everybody loved that movie. 98%, whatever, on Rotten Tomatoes. Yes, like, yes. Everybody loved that movie. They didn't nominate it. They went with some, you know, froofy stuff that I don't even remember. Like, who knows? So the next year, they went up to 10 nominees, and then you got things like Up and Avatar in the mix, and the ratings for the show went up because people want to see, like, movies that have success in their genre, like John Wick 4, nominated for Best Picture. I mean, that's one of the most incredible action movies ever made. Yeah. Should it be nominated for Best Picture? Sure.
I haven't seen the movie yet, but I saw the top-down shot, and that was, like, genius.
That movie is nuts, you know? There are a couple crossovers. Oppenheimer and Barbie did also get Best Picture nominees for comedy and drama at the Golden Globes. But I just think every time they award Box Office Achievement, you're just saying, what people like is gets sort of put off to the side.
Yeah.
When instead, I think the disconnect between – okay, the Globes are admitting that the movies they reward aren't cinematic – Or box office achievement. So they have to create a second category for that. That's
who's voting?
The
who's voting?
That needs to be addressed.
Who's voting in this popularity contest?
It's the what are they called? The foreign
press.
Foreign press agent.
Press. The Foreign Press Association.
So they're basically judging off box office receipts to see which movie basically made the most money, was the most popular, and that's who wins the award.
So if Barbie doesn't win, then why do we even call it box office? Yeah, why, it's the number one movie at the box office.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Barbie now just based on
just best
everything you described, yeah, Barbie right now should be the clear winner.
So who was the best pre-marketing team? That's what
there you go.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a dumb category.
Best marketing
anyway,
goes to.
Anyway, I had to call out that category because the Oscars did it and then they backed away from it, but the Globes went, dumb idea, we'll do it.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, it's kind of stupid.
But they
it
did.
Is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Little Barbie.
What's that?
Real quick, Paul. Talk to us about Dream Scenario.
Oh, Dream Scenario is fantastic. One of my top 10 movies of the year for sure. Nick Cage, every now and then. You know, he's so prolific.
Through,
he makes so many movies.
Yeah,
you put up with some crap from him, but then when he delivers, better movie than his previous two or whatever. Again, he just puts out so much.
National Treasure.
This is one of his better scripts in a while. It's about a guy who just shows up. It starts showing up in people's dreams. He's kind of a humble, almost bizarre, weird teacher at a college, but he starts showing up in people's dreams, and then people are like, what is this about? What is he doing? And then he starts doing things in his dreams that he doesn't do. And people start accusing him of stuff. He's like, this was all in a dream. I didn't do this. And then they go into a whole sci-fi plot about how to get into people's dreams but throughout, Cage is fantastic. This is a great movie, and it handles, you know, cancel culture in a way, because people want to cancel him. And he's like, this was a dream. You know, he has to like try to convince people. And it actually becomes a real kind of tragic tale that serves as obviously a metaphor for like how society behaves today. And in, oh man, he does a rant about people who just wake up waiting for whatever trauma is going to face them today and how excited they are to address it. Yep. You know, when people should just live life and be happy. But you know that, especially with social media, people get a, how can I be angry today? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, cool.
But that, yeah, that's a great movie. Definitely worth checking out. But I also want to point out real quick, because no one's talking about it and I don't even know where you can see it, but if you ever hear of the movie Radical, it stars Eugenio Derbez, who is a big Mexican film star, and he's crossed over. He was in the movie Coda, if you saw that. He played the music teacher in Coda. And he's appeared in movies like the Overboard remake and How to Be a Latin Lover. So he's trying to make his play into the U.S. movies. But this is a Mexican film about a teacher in a horrible Mexican school. And it's one of those movies about the teacher changes your life. But where it hits all the buttons. When Susan saw it, actually, I saw it here at home, but she went out to a screening and Edward James Olmos introduced it, which makes sense because he was in Stand and Deliver, if you remember, with Lieutenant Phillips.
Yep.
And he's like, I know this is another teacher who makes an impression on his students' movie, but we should have more of it. We should have a ton of these because they're inspiring. And that's what this movie is. Tons of emotion. I'm crying at the end of it. Fantastic movie.
Yeah, I'm looking at the
Radical.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ratings right now. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 94%. Fandango has it at 99%. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So. I've heard so little about it. I didn't even know. Yeah, what the reviews were saying, but
yeah, pretty high. So definitely go and check it out.
Yeah, it should be in theaters. Probably streaming soon. You know how it is.
Absolutely. But
definitely check that out.
Paul, it's good to hear your voice, man. I'm glad everything went well with the operation.
Yes, sir.
And that you are healthy again, and all you need now is just the healing, brother. And I cannot wait also for you and that lovely fiance of yours, Susan, for you guys to get married, man. I'm so happy for you.
Well, yeah, you know those man. People who like...
again.
Thank you. You know those people who say, oh, I'm never getting married, and then one day they're engaged? That's Susan. So she was kind enough to say yes. It's all on her. So however she wants to put it together is what we're going to do, and I'll let you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you and I and our listeners know, too, that you've gone through an awful lot as well. You know,
yes.
So for this to happen, and, you know, I'm sorry, you guys don't know, but so I'll explain. I met Paul through a friend of mine who also worked on movies and everything. And they had worked together. I asked Paul if he would want to do movie reviews for the podcast. He said, sure. Got to know him and, at the time, his wife, Karen. Unfortunately, Karen passed away due to cancer. And so, and she was a lovely, lovely gal. So Paul and I had also had private conversations. I'm like, dude, you do what you want to do, man. You know, you do it your way. You know, nobody else should tell you how you should live your life from this point on, you know, and that's exactly what he's done. And he found Susan, and, you know, no pressure or anything from, you know, me, especially because I don't like to do that, you know, but I can't express how happy I am for you guys right now, Paul.
Thank you, man. You know, it's kind of just processing that pain, you know, and I feel I did. I took it seriously and I handled it and I did therapy and the whole thing. And then, but you know, after a while, you just miss romance. And I know a good thing when I see it, it's not like I wanted to get out the, and I never got on the apps or any of that shit. Apologies to you other guys if you're on apps. Sean, you should not be on apps at all.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Close it right now. Close that.
Oh, man. All right.
But so
was it Bumble or Tinder? Never mind.
No, so a mutual friend introduced Susan and I, and the next thing you know, I was just like, this is going well. I'd be an idiot to like play some stupid field, that, you know. And so, yeah, I stuck with her, and you know, 3 years later, it's been great. So.
Yeah, and she's a great gal for you too, you know. And like I said, man, I'm just so happy for you. That, you know, she came into your life and everything, because, you know, it's tough losing a wife at a younger age, which is what has happened to you. And to find love again and to believe in that again, I can't be more happy for you guys.
Well, that's very kind, dude. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I love you, brother. I love you.
Oh, yeah. Same.
So
wait a minute. I love you. Same as, like, you know, a guy's way of saying it. So I should say the words. I love you. Oh, I still threw man in at the end. All right, well, we're guys. Yeah. What are we gonna do?
And
say likewise.
Exactly. and you know what? I'm so good to go for that Foreigner concert too, by the way.
Yeah, we've reported on our Foreigner concert as it being their last tour, and lo and behold, they're touring with Styx next year. All right. Well, do we have to go again? Maybe we do.
Yeah. I think so. All right, brother. You take care of yourself, and we will see you on the next flip year. Side.
See you next year. See you next year.
Absolutely, brother.
Farewell,
all right.
Gang.
All right, take care, Paul. Already gone through a lot with this guy. Paul's great. I love him. And it was hard to lose Karen. And when we went to her funeral, I haven't laughed or cried that hard in a long time.
Oh, word.
I mean, it was just one of those funerals where you were either laughing or crying, one of the two, you know, period, no matter what, you know. It was definitely.
It was a proper celebration of her life.
It was. It was, because she was in a comedy troupe herself, you know, and everything. Very talented young gal. And there's even a scholarship in her name, because she came out of the same town that Lucille Ball came from in New York.
Oh, word.
So, yeah, so there's a scholarship in her name and everything. So Paul did that. So it's strictly for young girls going into college who are strictly also going into comedy. As well.
Oh, word.
So it's specific, you know, and everything. So, which is great. And done in her name. So it's awesome.